to take a moment, Lord, in silence to reflect on your goodness to us. Lord, may each heart here in this room convey in thoughts and in prayers and meditations to you this morning your goodness to each of us significantly different, each of us significantly a great blessing on our hearts. Let's take that moment to praise him in our hearts today. Lord, we thank you for these good things. Most of all, yourself, Lord. We thank you as our great treasure. Out of all the treasures of this earth, nothing can compare with you. You are the treasure buried in the field that a man finds and sells all to possess. Lord, we glory in you this morning. Thank you for your great love towards us that we did not deserve, and we continue not to deserve. Lord, it is only through your grace and your mercy upon us that we can stand before you today. We pray, Lord, as we hear Pastor Wai Fung and the message on fasting this morning, that you would help us to understand better how we can search your heart and know you better. We thank you for these messages on basic Christianity involving prayer and simplicity and the importance of coming before you and in regular affair through devotions and through these various means that you give us to connect with you. We pray for cups that are overflowing, Lord. Fill our cups so that we can be a blessing to the people around us, to our world. Lord, we're also very much aware that in these days that COVID-19 is wreaking havoc across our world, and people are so anxious about these things and even affecting businesses here in Richmond that are seeing a downturn because of people not being willing to go out and shop and be in environments where there's a lot of people. And even in our church services, Lord, people are staying away because of anxiety over these things. Lord, we pray that you would give us strength of heart, conviction of your love. And we know, Lord, we all walk day by your grace. And each day is a gift from your hand, whether we are sick or well. We know that is from your hand. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us strength to waylay the anxiety in our world and to be confident in you and the love that you extend to us each day. Lord, we pray today for your hand of mercy upon us, as we know there are people in our midst that have contracted colds or flus or whatever it is the season. We pray for them and commit them into your hands today, that you would relieve them of these cold and flu viruses. Lord, we commit ourselves to you, to honor you, to hear your word spoken to us through Pastor Wai Fung today. We commit ourselves in this manner in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We welcome Pastor Wai Fung to come up to lead us this morning.
Good morning, everybody. Thank God and Pastor Larry giving me this opportunity to share this message, the topic of fasting. It's one of my favorite topic to share with you all, because I study the fasting in the seminary and I also practice it from time to time. Okay, let us pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. God, you are so good. You give us this spiritual practice of fasting. Let your word remind us and help us today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I think everybody likes good food. Food, good food, make us eating more, and then you may add more weight. For Chinese, we always gather together to eat, to celebrate. When we look at the food channel, the TV channel, when I look at those, the good food, you know, I will boost my appetite, want to eat more and more. But for Christians, if the desire for the food become overwhelming, it might cause us have less time spending the time with God. So that's why most people, most religions or faith see that fasting is a religious ritual. If you look at the Google Translate or the Google Dictionary, when you type in fasting, it says to abstain as a religious exercise from food and drink. To most religions, it is a time with God. We're spending some time with God to focus on God. For example, Pastor Larry just mentioned the season of Lent. We usually practice giving, praying, and fasting at that time. Very interesting, the word breakfast. Actually, you can break into two parts, the break and fast. What it really means is breaking the fast for the night. In general, we have two types of fasting. One is the absolute, you don't eat anything, even water, any food. But for the second time, it's a partial fasting. You might choose some kind of food you don't eat at all. Other than the religious rituals or benefits, people also do fast for some other reasons. For example, for the hunger strike, to prepare the birth work or the surgery, or to have some kind of health benefits. You may know this guy, Gandhi. He is so famous because he did fasting as a nonviolent way to express his opinion for the Indian independence against from the British rule. Nowadays, today, so many people using fasting for some political reasons. From the health perspective, sometimes we do fast, it really helps our body because our body organs, sometimes we need to take a break, need a rest, so that the organs, the body can recover from time to time. But for the religious rituals, the benefit definitely is not for the weight loss. We don't fast because we want to get rid of the weight. Usually, we do the fasting in order to favor the spiritual desire over our body desire or our physical desire. One famous theologian, John Piper, he said, "Christian fasting at its root is the hunger of a homesickness for God. Our appetites dictate the direction of our lives, whether it be craving for our stomachs, the passionate desire for possessions or power, or the longings of our spirits for God. But for the Christians, the hunger for everything beside God can be an enemy. While our hunger for God, for Him alone, is the only way that will bring victory for our Christian life. So it's a choice for the Christians. You can choose to shift our focus from food to God, become more consumed with God's truth and craving His will for our life. So we always have a conflict between the food and God. We have to shift our focus because when we do the fasting, it helps us to focus on God. So which faith actually does fasting? At least there's three. I give you the example. The Judaism, the Yom Kippur. This year will be on the September 27th, 28th. For the Muslim, the Ramadan, that is a month's time from April 23rd to May 23rd. And the season of Lent for Christians, actually we start on the coming Wednesday, February 26th to April the 9th. It's about 40 days. For Yom Kippur, this is another name. This is the Day of Atonement. It mentioned in the Old Testament, in the Leviticus, this is to be a lasting audience for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourself and not do any work, whether the native born or foreigner residing among you, because on this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Atonement is to make once a year for all the sins of the Israelites. The Israelites, they denied themselves on the Day of Atonement, because they know they sin against the law. So they separate the day so that they can focus on God. They can ask the God's forgiveness. The day become famous in 1973 because of the war on that day. The Arab, led by the Egypt and Syria, they tried to launch a surprise attack to the Israel. Why on that day? Because most of Israelites, they were fasting. They were weak. So they launched a surprise attack on that day. For Muslim, the Ramadan is a commemoration of Muhammad's first revelation. And the observance of Ramadan is regarded as one of the five pillars of the Islam. So every Muslim, they need to do fasting from sunrise to sunset. Stop eating. Stop other physical activities. For Christians, then Pastor Larry, he just mentioned what the season of Lent is about. It's a time for the Christian to prepare for the Easter. So the Lent, the season of Lent starts from the Ash Wednesday. What's Ash Wednesday? Ash Wednesday derived its name from placing a cross marked by the ash or dust on a worshipper's forehead in order to remember that we are dust and to dust we shall return. And start from that day for 40 days, they keep praying, fasting, in order to prepare their heart for this particular season, just like Advent, a season preparing for Christmas. Then you may ask, why 40 days? Actually, 40, number 40 in the scripture, it's a special number. It has a symbolic meaning. It always connects to the training, to testing, or some spiritual practice. I give you two examples. Moses, fast. Moses were there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread and drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. 40 days fasting. So Moses had a training about the Ten Commandments. Jesus also fast because he was going to face a temptation, a test. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devils. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Jesus not only fast, he also taught his disciples about fasting. Jesus said, we can read the scripture, and Jesus t- told us, what is the attitude of fasting? From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, 16 to 18, Jesus said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." I highlight the phrases, "only to your Father who is unseen." So it means when you do the fast, you just connect with God. When you connect with God, you don't make it obvious. This is a time you connect with God. The focus is the God. It's not the people around you. We care because Father sees in the secret. If you look at the context of Matthew chapter 6, these phrases repeat a few times, at least three times. Whenever you do giving, praying, and fasting, our Father receives in the secret. You don't have to let other people know. Only our Father knows it. That will be good. Do not boast the spiritual discipline to earn other praises, to earn the other kinds of rewards. The reward is from God only. Not for our own benefits, but for Father's benefit. There are a few books about fasting. I mentioned John Piper before. I'm going to quote a few other words from Lim Bang and Scott McKnight. To many people, fasting actually means losing the freedom because they cannot eat. Lose the freedom to eat. But Bob said, fasting is an expression of freedom, free from the patterns and the habits that mark every day. From time to time, we can move beyond our appetites into meaningful encounter with God. Fasting opens up to discover new things about ourselves and God and the world around us. So actually, to Bob, fasting is a freedom to choose whether you want to get closer to God or you want to enjoy the food. And after fasting, he did mention that we will discover something new. Because that during the time you're spending with God, they may inspire you. You may see something new. You have opened your eyes to see a new relationship with our God. But for me, I love the idea mentioned by Scott McKnight. He said, "Fasting is the natural, inevitable response of a person to a grievous, sacred moment in life." Fasting is a response to the sacred moment in life. Everybody, we have so many special moments in our life, like death, sin, fear, sex, lust, sickness. If we let God get involved in those special moments by fasting, this special moment is our sacred moment. When we face death, sin, fear, sex, needs, sickness, we naturally and inevitably respond to those moments. If we do respond to those moments with fasting, it gives us the opportunity to spend time with God. And these special moments, because of God's involvement, become the sacred moments. So when we look at the fasting, Mennonites put a lot of focus on this sacred moment rather than the result. Most people expect something turning out from fasting, the life, the forgiveness, the safety, the hope, the answer, or the health. So Mennonites actually identify there's a two-step process. The first step, from the sacred moment to fasting, and then second step, from fasting to result. Most people will focus on the second step, from fasting to result. For example, maybe Bob, you say, okay, he mentioned, yeah, when you fast, you may see a new relationship, you may see new things. There's a risk of the legalism. Remember the scripture we just read. The Pharisees, actually, they focus on the result. They fast. They want people to see they were fasting. They want to get the reward. They want to get some people to praise them because they are practicing the fasting, result-oriented. This is most Christian. They put on too much focus on the second step. But Mennonite, he wants us to focus on the first step, the sacred moment. And then we have a natural, inevitable response to this sacred moment by fasting. There's a lot of example in the scripture about this sacred moment. And the people did respond with fasting. But when you look at those scriptures, you will notice that when they fast, they might not get the expected results. Most people may, want to see the good result, expected result, but this is not always what we got. I will give a few examples. For example, for the prophet Anna, he was very old, he was 84, she is facing the moment of death. So she fasts and pray. But after she fasts and pray, she still die. Another sacred moment of sin. The Israelite people, they know they sin against the law and they confess before the law. And they fast, and then they confess, we have sinned against the law. After the fasting, the law really helped the Israelites to get rid of the enemies of Philistines. There's so many other scenarios in the scripture. Those scenarios became a sacred moment because the involvement of the law. The scenario of Nineveh. Another scenario of Israel when they face the threats. And also, there's a New Testament scenario about the disciples want to whether they should send the missionary to the mission field, and they fast and pray. And then they got the confirmation from the Spirit. So when you look at those scripture, so how can we define those sacred moments? The sacred moment actually is the time when the God is present. Sacred or holy, it means something related to God. That's why we call it the Holy Scripture. The Word of God, the Holy City, because God living in the city. Holy Communion, because we remember Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. So fasting actually is not for the result, but for the sacred moment. There's another scripture in the Gospel of Matthew. John's disciples came and asked Jesus, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn when he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast." Jesus said, there's no need to fast, because Jesus is already the God, is already with their disciples. The purpose of fasting is to spend time with God. And Jesus said, when you already have time with God, you don't need to fast. So, what is your sacred moment? When is your time you will be spending time with God? I think recently we all people are talking about the coronavirus. We spend a lot of time reading the news. How many people infect today? How many deaths we got today? These are the special moment in our life. One of the theologians in Hong Kong, Alliance Bible Seminary, Dr. Leung, he mentioned that do not waste the epidemic. This virus spread. Don't waste our time. What he means is don't just focus on the scenario, the spread. Why don't we shift our focus to God? Get closer to God at this time by fasting. Get closer to God so that we can ask, why does God allow this happen? Spend more time with God, and we pray for one another. We pray for the needs. So this special moment, the epidemic, became our sacred moment because we get God involved in this special moment. For me, when is my sacred moment? It's during the time of wondering. Whenever I'm down, not feeling good, I will go out for a run. Especially during those gloomy days, I will do a longer run, maybe 1 hour, 2 hours, or even 3 hours. I will skip the lunch to have some more time to run. Skip the lunch. So sometimes I will run and fast. I don't worry about what kind of food I need to eat, where I'm going to eat. I spend more time, a quiet time, solitary time with God, asking God, why I'm so down? What happens to me? Spend some time to pray with God. Or we pray for those people around me, that those people are in need. So a time of running became a sacred moment to me. So we try to practice fasting. Fasting actually is a period of inward awareness to break the interference from the body. One should fast for a period of time so that there's a sacred moment in which to recognize external bondage, to confess wrongdoing, to renounce idols' control, to acknowledge self-deception, and to be guided by the Holy Spirit. During the time of fasting, get rid of those burdens, get rid of those bondage, and focus on God. We will have the freedom. We will be guided by our Holy Spirit. I suggest pick a day, no lunch, no work schedule. Not only food, you also abstain from using computer, your mobile phone. Don't surf the internet. Enjoy the time with God. No food, just focus on God. Spend some quiet time with God. Pray with Him. try to acknowledge him, try to give thanks to him, try to praise him. But I have to remind you, not everyone can do the fasting. If you have some kind of physical health problem, do consult with your doctor before you do the fasting. Sometimes people may not, it may do harm if they just don't eat a meal. Be careful when you fast. I don't want you to get you hurt. So today, why don't we have the spiritual desire to draw closer to God through fasting? Because we have too much other desire, the secular desire, too much burdens. Those hinder us to draw closer to God. Let us try fasting. If it's new to you, try it one day. And also, try to do some more personal reflections. What is my sacred moment in life? Or is there any special moment? We can turn the moment into a sacred moment. And try to respond to those special moments by asking God, by fasting, getting God involved in those special moments. Summary, fasting is a kind of surrender of a personal desires and needs. The purpose of fasting is to put the focus back on God and submit to God. Fasting reminds us that food and other idols cannot sustain the Christian life. Fasting helps us to keep the sacred moment in life. Let us pray. Thank God for your reminder. Help us to get you involved in those special moments of our life. Thank you, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. Let's make this our prayer.